Welcome to episode 1304 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we travel to one of the most dramatic eras in church history, the Reformation, an age of revival, an age of upheaval, an age of rediscovering scripture, grace, and faith. But alongside the famous debates, translations, and theological breakthroughs, something often gets lost. The Reformation also unleashed a movement of generosity toward the poor, generosity toward the sick, generosity toward refugees, generosity toward ordinary working families crushed by poverty. Today, we're going to look at how the gospel rediscovered in the Reformation didn't just reform doctrine, it reformed hearts, cities, and systems of care. 1. The Reformation began with a monk wrestling with scripture, Martin Luther, but its impact quickly moved far beyond theology. Luther believed generosity wasn't a religious extra. It was central to faith. He taught that all wealth belongs to God. Christians are stewards, not owners. Giving to the poor is a joy, not a burden. And the rich exist to protect and uplift the vulnerable. But Luther didn't stop at ideas. He pushed for practical solutions. He helped launch what became known as community chests, public funds supported by churches and citizens that supplied food for the hungry, no-interest or low-interest loans to struggling workers, education for children, medical care for the sick, and support for widows and orphans. This was 16th-century social welfare, rooted not in government, but in Christian love. For Luther, generosity was a public expression of gospel freedom, not a work to earn salvation, but fruit that flowed from hearts freed by grace. 2. Right beside Luther was his wife, Katharina von Bora, a former nun who transformed their home into a community hub of hospitality. She managed a large farm, gardens and livestock, a brewery, a boarding house, and constant streams of students, refugees, poor neighbors, and visitors. There were days when 20 to 30 people ate at their table, when the sick slept in their spare rooms, when she opened her pantry to feed entire families, Luther wrote.
My Katie has always given generously to the poor beyond our means.
In Katharina, we see generosity not as an event, but as daily life. Meals cooked, sheets washed, resources stretched, doors opened. Her home was an anchor of love in a turbulent world. 3. When a plague struck Zurich in 1519, most people, rich and poor, fled the city. But the Swiss reformer Ulrich Zwingli stayed. He nursed the sick, buried the dead, prayed with the dying. During that time, he wrote a poem known as The Plague Hymn, crying out to God while offering his life for others. He nearly died himself. His generosity wasn't money. It was presence, courage, and service at the risk of his own life. When we think of the Reformation, we think of sermons and books. But we must also see plague wards, makeshift beds, and a man who believed the gospel compelled him to stay when others ran. 4. If Luther sparked the Reformation, John Calvin systematized its generosity. Calvin believed loving the poor was a mark of a true church. So in Geneva, he built a community that embodied gospel-centered compassion. Under his leadership, the church created hospitals, orphanages, schools, training centers for refugees, support for persecuted believers, housing for the homeless, financial assistance committees, and fair employment initiatives. Geneva became a refuge for thousands fleeing persecution, from France, Italy, Spain, England, and Scotland. Calvin taught that
we are the stewards of all that God has given us.
So Geneva became a city where generosity wasn't optional. It was expected, organized, and celebrated. 5. One of the most intense and beautiful expressions of Reformation generosity came from the Anabaptists, persecuted believers who emphasized following Jesus with absolute obedience. Leaders like Menno Simons taught that the church was a family, not metaphorically, literally. This meant, if a family lacked food, other believers shared theirs. If someone was homeless, the community sheltered them. If someone lacked clothing, others gave their own. Possessions were held with an open hand. Some Anabaptist communities adopted shared ownership, not by force, but by voluntary love. They took Acts 2 and 4 seriously, and they lived it out, even while being hunted, killed, and driven from their homes. Anabaptist generosity cost them everything, but it also made them shine like stars in a violent age. 6. One of the most important acts of generosity in the Reformation came through the translator William Tyndale. Tyndale risked his life to translate the Bible into English. So ordinary men and women, farmers and bakers, servants and children, could read God's word for themselves. This was generosity of the highest kind, the gift of scripture, literacy, truth, and the gift of access to God. He funded printing, smuggled Bibles into England, and gave everything he had so the Word of God could reach the poor. He would eventually be executed for it. His generosity changed the world. 7. It's easy to think of the Reformation as a theological movement, but it was also a social revolution fueled by Christian compassion. Reformers and their communities cared for orphans, widows, the elderly, the poor, immigrants, the oppressed, the sick, students, refugees from persecution, the uneducated, the unemployed, and even enemies. The theology of grace created a culture of generosity, because if salvation is God's gift, undeserved, unearned, unpurchased, then generosity becomes the natural overflow. Grace received becomes grace given. 8. Though technically developing in the early 1700s, the Moravian community traces its spiritual heritage directly to pre-Reformation martyr John Huss and the Hussite movement. Their generosity reflects the long arc of Reformation faithfulness. When persecuted believers fled Bohemia and Moravia, the Moravian community at Herrnhut welcomed them with astonishing generosity. Whole families were sheltered in barns, workshops, and homes. Food was shared until resources nearly ran out. Refugees were given work, land, and a sense of belonging. They established a common purse so that no one would go hungry. This community went on to launch one of the greatest missionary movements in history. Funded largely by sacrificial giving from poor villagers who believed the gospel must be freely given because it was freely received, their generosity created a global movement. 9. During the English Reformation, parish churches across England established what became known as poor boxes, locked chests placed near the altar to receive gifts for the needy. This movement was strengthened under the influence of reform-minded bishops like Hugh Latimer, who preached repeatedly that true religion required care for the poor. Because of these reforms, the poor received weekly distributions of bread, fuel, and clothing. Parishes organized medical help for sick neighbors. Children of impoverished families received apprenticeships. The elderly and widowed were protected from starvation. These poor boxes became the seedbed for what later became English social welfare. Generosity, driven by Reformation conviction, reshaped entire communities. 10. The French Protestants, known as Huguenots, endured fierce persecution. Yet they built a remarkable underground network of generosity. When believers fled from France into Switzerland, cities like Geneva and Lausanne opened their homes and churches. Leaders influenced by reformer Theodore Beza organized housing for refugees, meals at communal tables, clothing for families who escaped with nothing, employment for displaced tradespeople, schools for children who were barred from Catholic institutions, and secret funds to help imprisoned Protestants. Many Swiss Christians even smuggled money back into France to support underground churches. The generosity was risky. Helping Huguenots could result in fines, imprisonment, or death. But again and again, Christians chose love over fear. Their generosity preserved a people. When we step back, we see a pattern. Generosity in the Reformation was theological, rooted in grace. It was practical, feeding, clothing, sheltering. It was systemic, rewriting how cities cared for people. It was sacrificial, risking health, wealth, and life. It was household level, kitchens, tables, and beds opened daily. It was radical, especially in persecuted communities. It was evangelistic, a witness to a watching world. The Reformation wasn't just a set of doctrines. It was a movement of generosity that transformed society. So what do we do with this? Let the Reformation shape your week. Let grace fuel generosity. What God freely gave, freely give. Open your home, like Katharina did. Care for the vulnerable, like Calvin's Geneva. Give sacrificially, like Tyndale. Serve the sick and hurting, like Zwingli. Share resources joyfully, like the Anabaptists. Seek community solutions, like the community chests. Be welcoming like the Moravians. Practice a generosity that is willing to take risks, like the Huguenots. Be generous systematically, not sporadically. Build rhythms of care. One act of generosity can rewrite a life, but a culture of generosity can rewrite a generation. Father, thank you for the men and women of the Reformation who showed us generosity rooted in grace. Make us a people who give freely, joyfully, sacrificially. People who open our homes, share our resources, and lift burdens. Teach us to see the vulnerable as treasures, and to let the gift of your grace overflow into every part of our lives. Make us generous like your Son. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.